Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, folks, to Hamp's Corner of America, a corner where your host, Codis Hampton II, hangs out with notable guests discussing topics of interest to you and yours. Milwaukee's 13th and Juno is where our host grew up, where his creativity and his imagination originated. Hamp's Corner of America is where we discuss, debate, and innovate. In the end, we will all leave with a sense of purpose. So come on, hang out with us. And now your host, Codis Hampton II.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Hamp. Here at the corner, we're pleased that you're taking the time to check us out. We are old school here, without disregarding the contributions of hip-hop to our current state of being. You will find that we often refer back to our past, as we do believe that if you do not know where you came from, you most certainly will not get to where you want to go. It is our hope that you will hang with us and our guest of the hour, and even contribute to the discussion, so that we may leave here having gained, or at the very least, enhanced our perspective on the topics of today. And by all means, have fun while doing so. Without further ado, let's get deep into it.
Hello, 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 folks. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're taking the time to stop on by the corner and hang out with us for a while. I'm excited to visit with our guest of today. We're going to have one guest today. I'm sure you will figure that out, why once you hear Delilah Dines from Serendipity Salon and Spa. Dee Dee, as she prefers, is a somewhat unusual hairstylist whose primary goal is to pamper her clientele. You would be surprised to hear how some women view being pampered by anybody. At any rate, ladies, this is your kind of show for you. You are going to get up close with Dee Dee, the hairstylist based in Oakland, California. Here is a no sublet hint. I like her ideas because she is an innovator, which I featured in my Black Hair Industry Update Part 2. So stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, I have another nice selection from a collection from you, and Kim Scott. She is a songwriter and plays the flute oh so sweetly. Her CD, Rite of Passage, released in May of 2013. The Birmingham, Alabama-born classic and jazz flutist is a natural talent. You can catch her latest info on her website at www.kimscottmusic.com. But for now, let's get into her Rite of Passage CD. She calls this one Bright Eyes, Kim Scott.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, that's pretty nice. It's Bright Eyes by Kim Scott. Welcome back. I'm going to play a telephone interview that I conducted with Dee Dee. She is going to be on the show live later on. There are several reasons I wanted to play this taped interview. Number one is because we do not like duplication around here, so therefore I would have asked her the same questions while she was live on the show. The fact that she provided such descriptive answers and went right to the heart of the relationship between a stylist and her client was very revealing, which is another reason I felt I needed to play this for you, our audience. So without further ado, let me play that taped interview for you, and we will return right after. Please be patient, as Dee Dee is a very detailed speaking individual. Therefore, you're going to get the full 411 from her perspective. Here is the interview. It was taped in October, but as I said, she will be live. But this is the 20-minute interview. The subject I wanted to go over was to make sure that we got your take on how you can actually help the industry or stylists, as you said yesterday. So you can just go ahead and begin if you want to.
Okay. So one of the things that I've seen over the years in hairstyling and in the hair industry is, and especially in the black hair industry out there, is the propensity to just style hair and not take advantage of the other ways that people typically earn. Salons usually will sell shampoo, conditioner, and all styling aids from within the salon. But then inside of black hair salons, we usually don't have the capital to be able to invest financially into having just stock readily available on the shelves just to sell for our clients. Additionally, black clients that come to the salon on a regular basis, a lot of times don't shampoo at home. A lot of these women are not shampooing at home. They come in on a weekly or biweekly basis. Very common. And additionally, you have these huge beauty supply chains not owned by any of the black community, and they're selling all of the products to us and also the hair. So the hair extension industry has, you know, taken off the last 20 years, where every age group, every race is wearing hair extensions to some degree, hair pieces, and wigs, lace front, et cetera, for Hollywood and or in their regular lives. And so for that to be a market that is, you know, dominated by the African-American client base, it only makes sense to me that black people should be selling it.
Exactly.
And so inside of my business for the last 15 years, I've been able to connect with wholesalers and manufacturers of hair extensions around the world and provide them to clients in Oakland, California, and of mine and of other people as well. And I never wanted to sell it directly to the clients because I didn't want to become a competitor with a larger line. What I saw was that it's so easy to sell something to somebody or to refer something to somebody when they already trust that you know what their needs are. And that did it. Once I understood that, my clients go to the restaurants that I refer them to, hospitals, doctors, they call me and ask me questions, you know, for referrals of stuff that I don't have any experience in, because they know that I know someone who does. And they also know that if I am looking for a doctor for them, I'm going to look for the best one because I actually care about them, because I'm touching their head. You are intimate with a person and you're touching their body. They trust you. And so why would I then refer them to the beauty supply store when I know that that hair is tingly, nappy, it sheds, it's not reusable, it's not sustainable to the earth, it's not actually even real hair. And then you think about the women who cut their hair off religiously around the world And then you think about whose money, whose pocket that their hair goes into. Yeah. So they're cutting their hair off and giving up their vanity. We're putting it on for so many other different reasons. And I feel like there should be some positivity at the end of it and not someone else just reaping all the benefits.
Yeah.
I think that hairstylists should sell their hair if they believe in to the clients that sit in their chair, and they should not send them to a beauty supply that won't even hire brown skin people to work there.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And as you just said, you're saying that connection that you have with your customer, I mean, that's a most intimate connection. I mean, it's the same thing with a man in a barber shop, you know, or a person sitting in a tavern and talking to a bartender. There are conversations there that are very person to person, you know, because that's, you know, a person is relaxed in that particular atmosphere.
Right.
Yeah.
Additionally, for most companies, people go into business a lot of times because they want to earn money.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really thinking about the person they're serving in that instance. Often, hair companies are going into business to produce the cheapest hair and sell it for the highest price.
Yeah.
I couldn't possibly go into a business for that reason because I am the person who's sitting down on the client's hair.
Yeah.
And I'm the only one styling it. She's not styling it at home,
yeah.
So when I see her in 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
that hair has to be resilient, bouncy, soft,
mm-hmm.
just because I'm combing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not going to sell her something that I'm going to have to wrestle with in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, you can trust the quality of the hair because I chose it.
Mm-hmm.
I chose it because it's going to go in for over a year.
Exactly. And I've known other stylists myself, who has taken that same personal attitude because, I mean, the bottom line is if something goes wrong, that customer hair starts to, for whatever reason, starts to shed or this, that, and the other, and might not even be your fault. But
right.
You're the one they're going to be coming to.
Exactly. And for my hairline, I because I'm the quality control and because I can have the hair curled to the diameter and the texture that I like,
mm-hmm.
I've had them produce African American curly hair that I'm wearing right now, and people don't know that it's not growing out of my own hair.
Mm-hmm.
I twist my hair up at night, and actually in the morning, by the time I walk out of the door, it's in curly, happy, stinky style.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that no one else has to test it.
Mm-hmm.
The stylist that I sell the hair to, you don't have to test it because
mm-hmm.
I tested it. You trust me because I am you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking from your perspective. And so you know that the hair is usable for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And women tend to get different kinds of hair for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you won't necessarily be able to sell more hair if it's usable for a year. You'll be able to sell multiple kinds of hair.
Yeah.
I think that people tend to get greedy by providing quality. Quality sells to
mm-hmm.
people who appreciate it. So it's all about identifying people who appreciate quality
yeah.
and providing it. I'm never going to be in the business of quantity over quality.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, stylists can always buy hair extensions from me and not have to worry and be able to get it in any kind of amount. And they don't have to buy any of it to have on hand.
Mm-hmm.
Just order it online and have it shipped directly to your salon or
mm-hmm.
to your client's house.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't ever have to be without hair because they have to move.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's been a problem. When they move, I have a lot of traveling nurses as clients,
mm-hmm.
and it's a problem when they can't get you on the road. You feel sorry for them.
Mm-hmm.
You love them. You know, you're like,
mm-hmm.
wow, you know, I wish I could come to Timbuktu
mm-hmm.
and do your weave, but I can't. But at least I can now send them the hair,
mm-hmm.
and they can pay me to do it because I did the quality control,
right.
because I am the one that's caring the most about the company.
Right.
So, you know, the position that you play and the information that you have deserves an amount of money.
Yeah.
It deserves, you know, I would not hire a company to market my hair extension. I would try to speak to the individual stylist that sees the value in it
mm-hmm.
and say, do you want financial freedom? Do you want your referrals that you give away for free to earn money for you?
Because
mm-hmm. I do.
Mm-hmm.
finally, you know, it took me 15 and a half years to finally realize that it's something to me for more than the hair.
Yeah. And I understand that you have a pretty diverse clientele, too, that obviously that involves you making sure that you know different strands of hair and yeah.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons why I felt like that assistance and assistance for all people of all hair types, because all people wear it. The number one person on the, if you wear hair, show their hair
Yep, you sort of broke it up.
Oh, I was saying that Kim Kardashian is the most best person on the internet, regardless of what we think about her politics or her lifestyle. And she's showing her extensions and showing how she puts them in, but she isn't associated with the hair extension line yet. She's engrossed in the black hair culture or the black culture. And that shows you that with her being of a different nationality and all women of all races and ages following her, people don't know. So people don't understand that hair is the same. It's curlier, it's thicker, but it's made of the same properties, and it can be manipulated, and if the outcome can be positive, it doesn't have to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be painful. Children don't have to try the products that you buy. And additionally, a lot of the products that are marketed to stay home, to stay in the store, I mean.
Yeah, I can believe that.
And you know, whereas is that somebody and a manufacturer come out with a good quality product, by the time that and you know, other companies see that it's selling, there's so many people copying their product that by the time the consumer goes to the market, so to speak, there's so many different brands on the shelf, they just don't know what to buy.
You're absolutely right, and that brings me right back to the point that your stylist should be telling their clients and referring and selling the product directly to the client, because the products that I refer to my clients are different depending on the different person. That's why my classes, I teach additional classes, because there are so many individuals in the world. You can't get everything you need from one YouTube video.
Right.
Information is not one size fit all. You have a headache, I have a headache. Well, the first thing that I would do as a hairstylist is ask you, what did you ingest? And then I would ask the other person, what did you eat? You have to start with questions.
YouTube personalities
can't question you about what you did to your hair or your mother's hair.
Right.
Heredity plays a huge part. Environment plays a huge part.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
In
product, ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows what's inside of those ingredients except the person who cooks with them.
Yeah.
The person who's used them.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kind of, and I know, you know, one lady told me, I mean, the fact that one lady perspires a little bit more than another causes
problems. Exactly. Oh, perspiration, let's say a person fresh out of beauty college,
mm-hmm.
but all of the information that they give you inside of the book,
mm-hmm.
with a license to do hair,
mm-hmm.
a perspiration situation with a relaxer or a chemical could leave that stylist in court.
Yeah.
Because without the proper prior knowledge of likelihood of chemical burn,
mm-hmm.
at a regular application by the state board, you know, assessment, you know, will still land you with some chemical burns, some bubble ups, some oozing out, and some terrible, nasty situation. And if the client isn't used to or versed in hair, they will sue you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of times, you know, I believe that the journeyman and the apprentice, that must come back because it's necessary. You can't put everything in there.
Yeah.
You have to have seen it done. Just like watching the person cook as opposed to doing it with this recipe.
Oh, I can understand that. I noticed that I did see your jacuzzi spa, and that was advertised on your website as well. And yesterday when we were talking, you had mentioned that, you know, some people, regardless of who you're talking about, I guess white or black, it doesn't seem to be let me put it like this. One race does not own this particular trait. It just seems like some women don't trust being pampered by anybody. So how do we get to, you know, a woman just being able to say, well, okay, I just feel like I want to be pampered and I got to trust this person. I mean, gaining that trust, how do you do that?
Well, this is a great question because it's a challenge for me in the business model. So this business model doesn't really exist anywhere that there is a actual jacuzzi, garden spa, and shower and kitchen associated with hair services.
Mm-hmm.
So I think additionally, whenever anyone is going to a spa, it's more of a date type of a deal,
mm-hmm.
and or a family female getaway.
Mm-hmm.
And so women, the female me time doesn't happen as often as we might. And what does happen is maintenance hair. So I think that beauty using the idea of tampering in chairs is really my challenge, and it's, I think it's going to be beautiful because it can go together so well. You get in the shower, you go to the spa, you can meditate, you can listen to your music, or you can get right in the spa and take some time to yourself. You can go with a friend, enjoy a conversation privately, quiet, in a quiet environment. You can't really get that at Starbucks or a place that you would usually go to meet up with a friend.
Right.
And then you come in back inside, have your hairstyle, and go on.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know a place or a business that gives you time out and you still look like yourself when you usually just go after a massage. You kind of have to go home and put the makeup on, but at the salon, that's where you would put your makeup on.
Yeah, no, to find those type of services, you'd have to be on the strip in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
At a major hotel, and you know what you're going to pay for that.
Right. Well, this is $40,
and
so you should be able to come and get an additional pricing for whatever hairstyling services that the person would need and want. But it's a neighborhood salon, and so the services, I want to make sure that the services are always based around the people who are in the community.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a lot about race because there are so many of them around, and so when you offer services to a diverse clientele, you have the challenge of marketing directly to them and knowing that you're talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my industry, race divides the salon.
Yeah.
You can literally call the salon out by what nationality is being served there.
Right.
So at my salon, wow, are there a lot of different kinds of people in there. I mean, I have older gentlemen, younger women of all races and nationalities and all kinds of services. And they leave looking the way that they look if they went to their own, regular salon. So.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I know you're proud of yourself because you've got to have, you've already shown the stamp. I've been in business over 15 years. And obviously, you can't do nothing but gain clients if you stand in business that long because your reputation is going to grow, huh?
Well, you gain clients, you lose clients.
Ah.
And it changes. So this is, this is Oakland, California.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go on any Forbes magazine, did an article, and there's one out that Barbara Lee did yesterday, I believe, about the changing market. So,
Is this the congressman?
Yes, just an article yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So about the changing of the diversity in the area. So if I were primarily African, I know I have so many salons that have gone out of business.
Mm-hmm.
But the changing market means that so many people literally physically moved away, and so many people moved in because I was a diverse clientele. I mean, salon where no one was, I was able to still be attractive to people who are walking past the salon. They'll come in. They're like, okay, well, you're here. I'll come.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have, at the same time, people are really used to the higher-end conglomerate type of sit-out, not neighborhood personality salon.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, you still definitely have the corporation-based competitor driving, small business, mom and pop out. So there's so many dynamics inside of business that you definitely get clients, definitely lose clients, but it's all about being relevant and attractive to the market that you can serve. Sometimes you had a market, they moved. Even my market moved, some of my market moved, and I'm still attractive, thank goodness, to the other people.
Yeah.
But additionally, my goals are lofty. You said I'm proud. I should be proud, but there's no time for it. And when I am motivated, I'm motivated to get more. I want, because my market has changed so much, because I see so many salons go out of business, because I see so many hairstylists break their hands in carpal tunnel and cannot style hair and did not save money and are not business mogul, I would like for them to have some money at the end of their career where they are still. And the other thing that I noticed is in America now, no one is valuing the information of the old.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of richness. Human beings and hair doesn't change. The style and everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
The processes, to that change. You don't throw away your valuable in your field. Old people shouldn't be thrown away. I'm not old, you know. But my point is, I'm rich, and I understand the richness that is still inside a hairstylist after their hands are long gone. To be able to still refer, you know, hair products and hair extensions at least to your customers or your clients long after you stop styling their hair.
Right.
Some stylists don't know.
All right. I wanted to play the tape because there's a lot of information there that I wanted to make sure that the audience can understand, well, can hear. And I know there was some issues with the tape, but that's also why I have her live coming on. But the big thing is you can understand her passion about what she does, her expertise at what she does, and how long she's actually been doing it. So, you know, if there's some question that you have, you can ask while we have her on live, or she'll give her information out where you can get in touch with her. But at the bottom line is that this is a lady who understands her profession very well, is very versed in what she has to say, and can be, you know, I mean, she's very open. So you can just about ask her anything, and that's what I love about her. All right, why don't we take a short break here? We will be right back after our musical break. We are playing cuts from Kim Scott's Rites of Passage CD. This is the title cut of the CD. It's called Rites of Passage, Kim Scott. We'll be right back.
Hello?
Just want to let you know for now, this program is brought to you by Hamp's Corner of America parent company, the Chia Group. You can check us out at http://hcofa.net. You will also find how to order my latest book entitled Remembering Mars, Gracie and John Hampton's Firstborn. How many times have you been told that a black father is not a member of the household? This book is about a black man, his roots, his upbringing, and subsequently his performance as head of the household. It's about the love and respect he exhibited as well as receiving the same from everybody that met him. The book is much more than just a father-children relationship. It's a roadmap to parenting for all people. Remembering Mars is available worldwide in paperback, hardcover, and ebook formats at OutskirtsPress.com, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. The new book published on October 23rd. Give it some time to reach all the following outlets like the United Kingdom author book site at www.iauthor.uk.com. For you Apple users, the book will be available in the iPad, iPhone format at your Apple Internet distributors. More about that on our website, where you can also find my latest blogs on a regular basis at HTTPS, one word, Qatar Rhythm. .wordpress.com. That's KATARARHYTHM. .wordpress.com. This show is also brought to you by Rich Tycoon All Original AO brand. You may have seen him wearing it on his latest CD, Chapter 34. He has on a pullover hooded sweatshirt with the pronounced letters AO capitalized in bold. The hooded sweatshirt comes in a variety of colors. He also has a zippered style and a hoodie. With the hoodie, and the same all-original lettering across the chest, displaying the big AO for you. You can go to his site at http://blackbizness.net. That's BlackBizness.net. Go there for the full details. I got mine. Order yours today. We're going to bring on the lady in question now. After what we heard, I would think most entrepreneurs and stylists would be interested in hearing more from Delilah D.D. Dines. I want to welcome Delilah Dines from Serendipity Salon and Spy, or D.D. as she is preferred, to our show this afternoon. D.D., how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Codis. How are you?
Good, good, good. I'm glad to hear you're a lot clearer this time. We did the telephone interview, but there was so much valuable information, or valuable, I should say, information in there that I wanted to play it, and we did, and I think we got the gist of what your conversation, and that's the main thing.
Oh, great.
But you being live is better than that, you know, so.
I think so. That always works for me.
No problem. I want to go over a few of the services that you offer, and one question I have is why the performance stage in your salon? That always intrigued me when I saw that.
I thought so. Well, the reason I don't know why other people get into art and performance, but for me, being from the Bay Area and having so many stages and creative activities encouraged just growing up, it was a kind of a no-brainer with there being a creative aspect to art and styling and presentation, more importantly. So with a space as large as mine, it kind of only made sense after being propositioned with opportunity after opportunity to host events and showcase artists and singers and pop artists and, more importantly, photography and painting and visual art. So the gallery is more a gallery space than performance.
Okay, all right, I see. Of course, this goes along with our intention to, or your intention to pamper your clientele. Have you found that your clients appreciate your attempt at providing such amenities that go beyond your basic hairstyling?
I do. And not only are they pleased with it, they're usually surprised. So I guess I named the salon right in having it be called Serendipity, a kind of a happy accident. There's a spa and salon, jacuzzi. There's space for massage, massage and body aquatics and all the services that have to do with wellness, meditation. The patio in the back area is quiet and serene. And a lot of people like to go and just have their hair color processed in the backyard or just sit on a swing and, hang out after their appointments. So, they really appreciate it because it's different. And I think that they not all the time they're ready for, such a all-inclusive experience. But that's my job. I want to, change the industry to a degree and give people something new.
Look forward to.
Yeah.
Well, can you give us some examples or comments where you realize you are touching the right nerve, so to speak?
Yes. So... with there being the makeup and other stylists and other artists that are available because of the salon, I'm able to give, bridal and prom accommodations. So usually people are able to come and just get their hair done. But, at Serendipity, you're able to come, you're able to take a shower, you're able to prepare for your wedding, or have your makeup done, have your pedicure done, massage, and then get your hair done at the end instead of having to worry about how to make your hairstyle last throughout all of the other services that are necessary to bring you to the ultimate you. And I feel like hair is just one part of the ultimate you, but at Serendipity we're able to, help you get a little bit further along into that. And so some of the comments that I've gotten were, heaven sent, and last minute I'm able to provide them with, services that they wouldn't expect from their typical hairstylists that are in their area. So I've had people come in for weddings and events and just be shocked that I was able to give them so much more of what they wanted than they ever thought possible. So that's been good.
So do you service both men and women, or...?
I service men and women, and also one thing that's different is that I service all races. So services and styles that are not unique to a particular race, a lot of times the technician will not be versed in it. But I've made it my business over the years. Like I said, the Bay Area and Oakland is diverse. So I literally see every race and every age group, and I'm happy to because I really like styling hair. And so my styling ability doesn't stop at a demographic of this age and this race, whereas other people, they've limited themselves, and it's just not as fun for me. So I'm able to do everything because I enjoy it, and I've made myself good at it on purpose.
Good, good. Yeah, there was one question I know that we went over on the taped interview, but so people can hear it a little bit more clearly, I was most interested in the service that you offer, where you actually teach classes or offer, teach classes for people to learn how to handle different strands of hair. You want to talk about that a minute?
Yeah. So that's another thing that I offer. I do that inside the salon, but I'm also traveling to offer that to other areas. So for areas or, organizations, usually they're just schools where there are mommies and sometimes daddies who have children of a different race, or maybe the children just have a different hair texture than the parent is used to styling, or maybe the parent just doesn't know how to comb hair. And so I've just you know, found that it's a lot easier for me to teach you what to do at home as far as health first and then styling second. But also, you know, I have to just go ahead and say, because I love all hair, because I love all people, I don't see anything wrong with anyone's hair, and I'd like to be able to, you know, give that vision and that empathy to parents styling hair so that people, little people, don't grow up to be big people who hate themselves. That's really important to me. Everyone who comes in is beautiful for a different reason, and a lot of times everyone who comes in feels insecure for a really ridiculous reason. And I think it's unnecessary, and the reason that I've been motivated to teach these classes are just because of the pain that people go through for absolutely no reason. Yeah. So I teach that class, and also I, you know, offer the hair extensions to people who want to go longer or want to cover up hair loss or want to compensate for short hair in one area or change a look and do something of another color.
Very good, very good. Well, back to these accoutrements again. I understand that you have to take special care in selecting the artwork for your art gallery. Can you explain your process for selecting artwork on display?
Yes, usually people will come to me with the idea, and it also being a hair salon, certain artists are naturally not attracted to displaying art inside of a salon. Certain artists are really attracted to doing it. So the method that I use is I just really need to like it. I don't promote or sell or say or do anything that I don't agree with or you won't see me doing on another day. So if I can't say that I enjoy it, I don't do it. There are storytelling events, and there are a range of different kinds of music. There's a country music artist that performs there, and I really, really enjoy it. And people are surprised, I guess, at my range of music, but look at my range of clients. I have clients of all races and ages, and music is no different. I'm a human, and I'm a human who does human hair, and, you know, it's crazy that we have to separate into all of these different sections just to get able to enjoy it.
But it sounds like a fun place to visit, that's for sure, and get service for whatever you're looking for.
I work by appointment only, and it's one appointment at a time. I don't split my time between people or my attention because I enjoy the product and I enjoy the smiles that leave the salon, and the good reputation I've enjoyed for 16 years has to do with attention. Women and people like to feel pampered, and you can't do that with the iron in the stove and the, you know, pot boiling in the kitchen. So I don't try to. I just give everybody all I got for the 2 hours that they're there, and then they're out the door. Usually it's an hour and a half tops.
Sounds like a great experience, especially with the personal touch, you know? I'm just going to ask another question. What does it take to present a new style to, say, a middle-aged client with the hope that they would like it? I mean, you've got to convince them. How does that
Confession.
Work?
Confession time. I have been a bad hairstylist in this way. In this way, I've noticed just recently in introducing a middle-aged client, I'll say middle-aged, call that 55, middle-aged client, to hair color that I just didn't think that she would be into, and she did it, and then I introduced another and another, and the color was blue. It was midnight blue. It's the ombre technique, which just means a gradient technique that fades in and out, fades from one color to another one. This color was integrated in her hair. All of it wasn't blue on the tips, but I integrated it into a way that it wouldn't damage her hair, but then also it would give her a solid blue. And she immediately said she wanted it. The next time she came in, she reminded me, although I knew sometimes I'll let people, you know, slip out of it if they, you know, put their foot in the mouth. She didn't. She wanted it. She got it. She wore it. And, you know, she, oh, and she texted me and said that a woman named Jasmine would be calling me for her to get the same color. And I felt like, I guess, like parents feel when they haven't, you know, allowed their children training wheels. Like, you were trying to go somewhere that, and I felt like I was a bit holding them back. So middle age, for me, has not really had anything to do with a reluctance to try new things. Mm-hmm. Now, that was an assumption that I had made, but not true. Now, what I will say is new mothers are very reluctant to try anything new. They have usually a new idea of what motherhood would mean for them, and it takes them about 2 years before they're able to wiggle out of something that's more, conservative. They think that they have to wear a conservative style because they're a mother. So usually that's the only person that is super conservative. Older women, not so much.
Well, I'll be doggone. You know, that's interesting. Yeah. I can see where, I can see where that, oh boy, that's interesting. Well, we're going to take a musical break here and let you collect your thoughts here a minute. Bear with us while we take another song break and come back with our guest. The next cut from Kim Scott's Rites of Passage CD is entitled Golden. Yes, the same song done by Jill Scott. I was thinking about you then, Dee Dee, when I say, let me get something that fits her atmosphere.
I love that. And I love that song. I can't wait to hear it.
All right, so this is Golden. It's by Kim Scott. She's a girl from Alabama that plays the flute. Classical player, too, so she's a very talented young lady. Here she is, Golden by Kim Scott. Tim Scott doing Golden. And we're back just in time for the last part of our interview with Dee Dee. Well, Dee Dee, I'm going to ask you a question now that, just please understand that I'm a man, so, you know, I don't know what you're talking about anyway.
Okay, good. I'm glad I guessed right.
Right. So I'm talking in men speak, so to speak, so help
me out.
Go ahead. But how do you deal with clients that have receding hairlines or repairing the damage done by another stylist? And I think you sort of touched on it, but I'm giving you a chance to straighten me out.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I like to do is I like to find out how the woman or the person feels about it first. If it is not a problem for them, it is not a problem for me. The most important thing to me is that the individual feels beautiful. And so sometimes that's not for me to judge. But if the person does have a problem with it, wants to cover it up, change it, or grow it back, then I start to figure out what caused it. Finding out the cause for an issue is usually the best way to figure out how to prevent it or to solve it or to cure it. Or to cover it, and in that order, prevent, solve, cure, and then cover. And so depending on the person and the issue, and if there is possibility to have growth come back, I would give them and introduce them to styles that would encourage growth, like something that wouldn't have them damaging their hair, or something that would be a cover-up style, that was something like bangs, parted differently, or you know, color it differently to accentuate the lighter areas and blend it into the scalp. You know, there's so many tricks and things that you can do, but pretty much it's a tender conversation to have. But I think that when the person understands that you care about them and you respect them, then, you know, you can there's a crayon in the canvas. And they're really willing to let you try as long as they know that you respect them and care about them from the beginning. Yeah. So it's not a man issue. That was easy.
Oh. I was trying to figure out how to phrase it.
There are styles, you know, with extensions and everything for the most part. Mm-hmm. Those are the ways that women tend to cover up issues. And I sell extensions directly from my website. And it's the kind of thing that I believe that all hairstylists should be doing is retelling extensions because we're the only ones who really know if they're good.
Yeah.
You can't educate a person by way of the internet on the words and phrases that mean resiliency and bounce and soft and doesn't shed, break, be ugly, get nappy, tangled. You know, those are things that hairstylists know inherently. And I've invested, you know, a lot of years, and I've kissed a lot of hair frogs, like I say, to figure out good hair. So that's one of the main options and one of the most popular ones that are used right now to combat hair loss.
Mm. All right. Now, excuse me. Do you find it's easier to advise younger or older women clients, and why do you think one or the other is more difficult?
Okay. Yes, and I will say it's not to do with age. It's to do with generation. I think that older people are versed in how valuable experience is. So an older person is more ready to take information from another human, whereas children, or as I call 25-year-olds, but or young people, and that's disrespectful. That's something. I'm 38. It's disrespectful, but I have to stop calling them babies. But yeah. It's a term of endearment. Anyway, the point is the younger generation, the millennials, they're and the younger women, they're more likely to believe everything that they've read on the internet, and it's a lot more difficult to combat the misinformation that they have received, because misinformation to them is only information untested. They actually have to walk into the wall. They actually have to lose all of the hair on the sides of their heads. Now, they can't look at me, who has not lost any hair and who's done hair, and say, oh, she must know how to keep hair. No. They have to trust the person who's not done hair for a living on the internet, because they have 50,000 people following them who are also, by the way, following 50,000 other people and not paying any of them any attention.
Of course.
So followers are followers of thousands. They're not really following you and paying you money or anything. But that means something to young women, and I oftentimes have to tell them, look at your hair and look at that woman's hair. That person is not inclined to tell you the truth, and they don't know you personally. So combating internet information, and I'm sure doctors have the issue with WebMD. Attorneys have the issue with just a plethora of information being available, but it's not personalized. Mm-hmm. And that's why I teach the classes, because you have to touch a human. You have to know what you want. I have to know where you're going. Bob doesn't mean Bob across the universe in all time and space, and neither does Chestnut. People, some people are colorblind. Chestnut means different things in the light and in the dark. So you need a real, you know, sometimes getting rid of the middleman is a ridiculous thing to do. Middlemen know you. The middleman needs to come back in American business. He has a point, and he has a value.
Good point. Again, it's that personal services that you really need to pay attention to, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's a person who's giving you their money.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Right. That's right.
Why would it be one size fit all when there's not all here? There's one person here, and then there's another. And each one of them will be treated differently and as special as the last one.
Yeah. And I know that, once again, that I knew a good friend of mine that was a stylist, and she has passed now. But, you know, I used to listen to her go through a lot of issues with people coming in the shop and saying this, that, and the other. And and she was of the same mode that you are, or same mind, I should say, that you are, that personal services will win out overall.
That's right. Well, what are you here for? There's a doll and there's a comb. And if you just want to play around, you can do that. But there's a human underneath that head that I want to make happy.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Once again, just for the record, what would be your top three suggestions for those who want to become a hairstylist and anticipate owning their own business and making a career out of it?
I would say get ready. It's an exciting, exciting, rewarding career. But I would say that patterning your career after another person's career is the absolute worst thing that you can do. I'll say that you'll learn who you are as a creative person, and you'll learn who you are as a business person. Those are two completely different things, and a business owner who is a stylist will find that out, because that's already two different jobs. If there are conflicts of interest inside of those positions, you will rectify them in multiple ways as long as you do the business. Meaning, you know, there are questions that you have to ask and hard answers about management, and are you as nice as you could be as an entrepreneur, and are you working as hard as you can? And then also, is there enough time to go around? You have to manage your time and your energy to things that are going to be a really good return on your time investment. You'll learn how to manage your time in ways that are, like, ridiculous and rewarding. And it's a sharpening of a human being like no other, I tell you that. So as long as you stay true to whatever you got into doing hair for creatively, and as long as you balance that out financially so that you are never in a position to pervert your craft, meaning use proper products always, no matter what. Always, no matter what. Always, no matter what. That's it. That's it. And so that way, you never are compromised. You know, I went to work in Beverly Hills, and I worked in Oakland, California, and I went because I wanted to find out, did the hairstyles on television, were they actually as crummy as they were looking? Because in Oakland, hair looks fly, beautiful, and awesome, and I couldn't understand what was wrong with the hands of the stylist there. But what I found out is this. Sometimes you pull that curtain back, and you don't want to know how how fly and fancy the French debonair, you know, person is. Sometimes it's always about quality. And if you are always given it, it doesn't matter. Look what happened in Oakland. You know, Oakland was not a very popular place, and now Oakland is more expensive than the Beverly Hills salons that I was working in at other times just for well-roundedness. So sometimes the fanciness will come to you instead of the other way around if you are always able to be consistent in delivering the best craft that you have possible. Other than that, I have no advice.
Now, let me ask this, since we're on that particular subject of Hollywood, did you have any experience? Well, obviously you had the experience, but what did you gain or how did you did you come up with any ideas on doing their hair any different because of the hot lights that they work under?
Yeah. So styling for television is about continuity, and that's kind of in television and movies. For me, that's the most important thing, is that the scene isn't broken up because the hairstyle has changed so much because the stylist is no longer available 6 months later on the set. So it's the style's lasting, which a lot of times people think that African American stars are the only ones wearing wigs. Wigs are just done across the board because they're consistent. Hair pieces alone, you know, that will look the same 6 months later. So it's heat, but then also it's time and, you know, it looking the same. But for that group, the Hollywood and the entertainment field has been primarily music that I've styled, and that'll be like people who come into town and play at the venues, or maybe I'll go to the venue and style behind stage for them and that kind of thing. And they really just want to look beautiful. A lot of them can't afford to take a full team, you know, like Aaliyah when she passed away, rest her soul, her whole team styling everybody went with her. But most professionals are not able to afford that.
Yeah.
So when they come into town, then they have a private place to come and take a bath and get their hair done. And, you know, some American Idols and some Grammy Award winners and some people like that I've been lucky enough to style for.
Well, I might be sending someone your way, but I'll get into that later. What are your personal plans for you and your business, if you can talk about it, for the next year or so?
For the next year, my plan is to really go more virtual. So I have a website, serendipityhairsalon.com and oakland-salon.com. They're both the same site, but I found that there's just so much I do. So along with the photography, it goes hand in hand with the salon. So the photography of the models and of the hair and of the city, it's important that those pictures go somewhere. So I'll be more online and promoting the hair extension line and then the services that are virtual, meaning the classes, the Mommy and Me, the child hairstyling classes in that. So I'll be all online and all traveling throughout California and then also inside the salon. So more of the same, but more online. Yeah, and the hair extensions are shippable directly to your house or to your salon across the country and in the world.
Okay. Good. And I think I heard you have a preference for sort of working independently. And so I guess the question is do you have another, an assistant or somebody who's there with you doing
hair? I do. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this wouldn't be possible without some help. So, yes, there's another stylist there, and she's kind of the same. She's a go-getter. Mm. She's a really heavy, steady clientele, so it's nice having somebody else finally to bounce off of just recently.
See, that's where I was going with that because, I mean, I again, you know, long hours of talking with this stylist that I knew, You know, she complained about some of the people who came in there. And, I mean, it's just like anything.
Well, no.
Whatever profession you are in, you know, people are going to come in that you're not, you being a perfectionist that you are not going to like their work so much. So
It's almost like a marriage. So you are happy with
it
the
is.
Person that you are.
Roommates. Yeah. Well, this is what I'll say I find is that you figure out how to get along. There are people, I guess, just like relationships, you'll find that you start to pick up a little extra weight right here, and then what you find is that you've just carried that weight the length of the relationship. Is the weight too heavy is the question. I had a stylist that was with me for a long time, very pleasant. She could style hair, not many problems with her at all, and happy to see her every day. When she left, I was so relieved. She moved away, but I was so relieved because there was so much less work to do in the way of cleaning. I didn't realize that because she took so long to clean that I would clean up a lot faster than she would, and so it just made me a bit of a maid, whereas, you know, a lot of owners would say, oh, no, you have to go, whereas I just moved into the mode of this is going to be clean, we're going to be good, and it wasn't a big mess. But I definitely noticed that I didn't have as much of it there.
Gave you a little bit more time, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Notice things like
and
that.
And so there's a trade. There's a trade because she was pleasant and fun, you know?
Yeah.
And you just find a good fit and know that you're going to carry some kind of weight or know that there will be a compromise. But that's with everything. You have to go into every relationship knowing that.
Okay. Well, I think we've all realized that we're talking to a pro here now, Dee Dee, so I'm not surprised that anything that comes your way, you seem to handle, man.
This sounds like a lot has must have been thrown my way then.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that's life.
Yeah.
And it used to me breaking into the song, but you know.
All right.
Yeah. Well,
you might have a song ready.
Yeah, exactly. Several, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to have you come back and visit with us later on the
I'd
latter
love
part
to
of
come
next
back.
Year.
Okay.
We'll look forward to that. Would you kind of give us your contact information again?
Sure. In the way of website, my website is serendipityhairsalon.com or oaklandhairsalon.com. That's OAKLAND-HAIRSalon.com.
Hmm,
give you the right
okay.
one? Yes.
Okay, and your phone number?
My phone number is 51.
Somebody want to get in touch with you?
Yes, my phone number is 510-228-2970.
Okay. And the email address?
And my email is dd@serendipityhairsalon.com.
Okay. Thank you, Dee Dee. I tell you, it's really been a pleasure talking to you because, you know, let me try to shorten this up. After I got involved with this passion of mine of trying to help the hair care industry, and because of this lady who used to keep my kids and that was a nice lady, you know, but she was the first one that I found that was so open, probably because we was friends, too. But, you know, I found that trying to talk to other hairstylists, sometimes you don't get that. And that's in any profession, you know. Some people don't want to give out their secrets or, you know.
I don't know why. I don't understand it, but I'm glad that we connected.
Exactly. So we'll talk again, okay?
All right, Codis, thank you so much for the opportunity, and thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate good media.
Oh, no problem. Take care and good luck in all your future endeavors, and I'll be talking to you.
All right. Bye.
Have a great day. Bye. Okay, folks, we're going to play another Kim Scott jam, this one written by Kim Scott for Kim Scott, as she notes on the CD credits. It's called Sweet Obsession. She actually sings on this one. Once again, here's that multi-talented Kim Scott with Sweet Obsession.
I
Our show is also brought to you by BOPSA, which stands for Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association. Their mission, connecting the black dots, consisting of 8 major connections. Consumers, social media, 3, hair care product manufacturers and hair distributors, barbershops, 5, salons, natural hair salons and braiding salons, 6, beauty supply stores, 7, traditional retail and online shopping, and finally, 8, the black community. That is the 8 major connections when connecting the dots. Check out the details of BOPSA founder Sam Enan's latest concept, the Black Box Barber Caddies for Men. And entrepreneurs can get the full details on how to become an investor, distributor, salesperson, or wholesaler of the Black Box Caddy Trio of Machines. Specifically, the Black Box Barber Caddy with men's hair care products. There's the Black Box Beauty Supply with women hair care products. And the Black Box Natural Products, which addresses the natural black hairstyles that are becoming more popular today. The Black Box Trio are vending machines that will expand your income potential and serve your customer base. Think inside the box. Go to www.bobsa.org for complete details. Or simply call Sam Enan at 650-863-3491. Tell him Hamp sent you. One more time from the lovely jazz flutist. Let's have a block party with Kim Scott. In fact, that is what she calls this one, block party. Let's go, girl. Hey, what I'm talking about. Well, our last word segment of this show is a personal announcement from me to you. I am an author, and as previously noted, have just released a publication about my late father. I mention this because Author House, the publisher of a book I wrote about my grandmother, is going to present my works at this year's Miami Book Fair International, happening November 20th through the 22nd at Miami-Dade College. That's right, that's this coming weekend. The book, entitled Gracie Hall Hampton, The Arkansas Years, 1917 to 1953, is one of the works I am most proud of, although I think the book about my father would be just as compelling. The point is, I will be gearing up for a big rollout of my new book as well as the promotion of Gracie Hall Hampton. You can find out the details over my website at http://hcofa.net. Some of you probably have already saw it. Thank you for allowing me to promote works that I am so very proud of having created. You just don't know how putting those types of works out there make me feel at this time in my life. It is indeed a feeling of accomplishment. It is my hope that you pick up one of these books, if not both of them, and make them a Christmas present to your son or daughter. Both books are a testament to how we as black people live and were brought up to be good citizens. Not the people the national media and other projects us to be these days. I am sure there are other books out there as well that speak to our heritage and black history. So buy them, even if you're not buying mine, but buy something. The point is this. We need to reinforce our proud heritage to our young folk. We want them to know who they are, because if you don't know who you are, you cannot possibly get to where you want to go. So this holiday, make it a point to reintroduce ours and their roots to our youngsters. And oh, by the way, a lot of us adults need to be reminded too. All you got to do is just talk to somebody on the corner. Please pick up my books and other authors' works that remind you of what a special people we are. The last one from Miss Kim Scott, writes of Pastor CD. This one is called Treetops. One more time, Kim.
Tim Scott, Treetops. Well, it's time for me to go, folks. Let me once again thank our guest, Delilah D.D. Dines from Serendipity Salon and Spa in Oakland. It's located at 5653 San Pablo. Phone number is 510-228-2970. As always, we meet here at the corner on a bi-monthly basis. I am your host, Curtis Hampton II. Just so you and the audience know, we do have chat room capabilities here. You can even chat among yourselves while you wait to ask our guests or myself a question. Since we always sprinkle our show with 5 to 6 musical cuts from our favorite artists, let us know your favorite and I will try to get them in. If there are any comments, you can post them right on the show's comment section. Please join us again for Volume 7 of our Hemp Selection from his collection this Saturday at 11 o'clock. Two, until the music stops playing. That's November 21st at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We will have Oakland's own actress, vocalist, and model, Keisha Love, as our special guest, which is a first for me on that particular venue. Normally, we don't have a guest on our Saturday show. Talk about a great time out. I am sure we will hear some interesting news about show business and her plans for the future from Keisha Love. So be there for that. Details of our other guests for our regular shows and other specifics will be available on our website, including LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as other social media. As always, if you can't join us live, you can always tune in to our website and listen to the show at your own leisure. For now, peace. Thank God tonight for making it such a wonderful day and a more promising tomorrow. Good night. Take it easy. I'm out.